morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years around here with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM. And also now with our new friends over this past year at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area online, on air, through iHeart Radio, by the way, and TuneIn Radio. And then also our friends over at WTMR 800 AM, serving New Jersey and Philadelphia. But what a joy it is just to come together, to sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And as you know, I love to do portraits of God. Every scripture to me gives us portraits of God, and combinations of scripture even make it more vivid. And so today, oh, the Lord has put this on my heart, to really try to paint a portrait of the Lord through the scriptures for you and for me, about how He is our creative provider. This is very much on my heart because here in Southwest Florida, we've gone through a hurricane recently, Hurricane Ian, and I tell you, people are in all different stages of recovery, from total disaster over at Fort Myers Beach and the other outlying coastal areas, those that are already pretty much recovered, and everything in between. So I tell you, seeing how the Lord is our creative provider in the big picture is an encouraging thing to think about. And so that's what we're going to walk through today, and probably next time, maybe even three times, because there are 15 creative ways that I see that the Lord provides for us. Some of them look pretty normal and everyday. Others look a little out of the box, but that's the thing. The Lord, our creator, is creative. And when you have a need, my friend, getting a glimpse of the Lord as our creative provider in the ways I'm about to walk us through in the next couple of broadcasts, I just hope we'll be an encouragement to you, for your family, for your churches, and just seeing how the Lord loves to take care of us. So, as we get started, as is our custom, just a reminder that these messages are archived at markpg.org. You'll also find some 3-minute videos there, portraits of God there, that I've done over the years. And then the archives of these 27 message audio broadcasts are there as well. So you can let your friends know about it and go back and listen to these broadcasts once again. And before we get started, as is our custom, we just love going before the Lord to ask Him to speak. So let's just do that, all right? Well, Lord, what a joy it is to come together, to sit at your feet. I love sitting at your feet. And with my brothers and sisters, as we all just let you speak to us from your heart to our heart. Lord, today, as we start a journey through the scriptures to see your portrait as our creative provider, I pray that we will receive it and that it will comfort us and encourage us, especially when we're going through lean times, just to be watching for the creative ways you love to provide for us. So thank you, Lord, for this journey of discovery that we're about to make together. Thank you. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, as I mentioned, we're going to have 15 takeaways, not all of them today, obviously. We're going to start our list today of how the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us in so many ways. So here's number one. He provides for us, number one, through working. Through working. This goes all the way back to Genesis. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. If you're a note taker, you can start jotting down these references for where we get glimpses of these portraits of the Lord as our creative provider. And in this case, He made it very clear from the very beginning of the creation of Adam and Eve, in verse 15 of chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it." And then in verse 16 is when we hear the more famous passage, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any of the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die. And then verse 18, we see the next very popular and well-known passage that says, then the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. So what sometimes gets lost in this passage is the opening part where it says that the Lord put the man in the garden to cultivate it and keep it. In other words, you got to work. You don't just play all day long and just grab fruit off the tree. No, you got to cultivate it. You got to keep it. That's some work. And I'm going to send you a helper to help you with the work. So this is where, from the get-go, the Lord makes it very clear, hey, I've designed you to be workers, and I provide for you through working, and you'll be able to eat from the trees of the garden that you cultivate and keep. In fact, I'm going to send you a helper, create a helper for you, and there we have it, the call to be a working people. Now, over in the New Testament, over in 2 Thessalonians, you want to jot this down, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, we get this very important passage where the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and among the many things he says here in chapter 2 and in verse 10, it says that, hang on, that's not right, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10, there we go, at 3, verse 10, the Bible says this, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order. If anyone will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now, such persons we command and exhort in the Lord to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. So let me make a very, very clear statement here. It's saying if anyone will not work, if they choose not to work, it goes on to say because they're undisciplined, well, they should not eat because I provide primarily through people working faithfully. It doesn't say if anyone is not working. We do recognize there are some folks that are so disabled, they're not able to work. That's a different thing. And there's some, and there's provision throughout the scriptures of helping the poor and feeding the poor and that type of thing. There are extenuating circumstances where a person cannot work. This is talking about a person who will not work, which brings us full circle to the Garden of Eden. When God commanded them to cultivate and keep the garden, he wants us to work. That's how he provides primarily. But if you will not work, well, you know what? You should not eat. And by not eating, it'll teach you to get disciplined, get focused, get faithful and work. All right? So that's number one. Now, the scripture goes on and gives us other portraits of how the Lord provides as our creative provider. Number two, he provides not just through working, but through savings, Have you stopped to think that the savings that you have been putting away, hopefully, faithfully, for years, it's not like untouchable. It's God's way of pre-providing for needs that you may have down the road. I hope you do save percentages of what you earn through working. Don't spend it all. Have some savings, you know. Some would say 10%, you know, and then you have to put some aside for taxes. You got it, and also the old saying about putting stuff away for a rainy day is great. It is wise, and when the rainy day comes, the money is there to help you out. We get this from Proverbs chapter 6, one of the best pictures of it. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and it comes from. And I just love the picture. It's a word picture that is so vivid and it's so memorable that I want to read it to you, beginning in verse 6. It says, go to the ant, O sluggard. Now, what's a sluggard? A sluggard is a lazy person. We just talked about lazy people who will not work. And it says, consider the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, think boss, having no boss, prepares her food in summer, gathers her provision in the harvest. Is that cool or what? Here's the little old ant that doesn't have to have a boss, doesn't have to have an officer, a chief, or a ruler making them save. They are smart enough and wise enough to prepare food in the summer, to gather provision in the harvest so that they will not be lacking down the road. The next passage says, "How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands and rest? And your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man." So once again, the scripture is telling us very clearly that the Lord does not want us to be sluggards, lazy, unwilling to work. He wants us to work, and he wants us to save, just like the ant does. And don't wait for somebody to make you do it. You do this as unto the Lord in obedience, because the Lord, our creative provider, loves to provide for you. He does it through working, through savings. And here's number three, through investments. The Lord provides through investments. By the way, this is probably a good time to say this. I know that some of the stuff I'm sharing with you is stuff you've heard about before, known about before, maybe feel guilty that you haven't been doing it before, but I'm not sure you may have seen this in the scriptural context of it being from the lips of the Lord and the way that he chooses to provide for us, some of the many ways he chooses to provide for us. But investments, a great illustration of this, a great portrait of God's ways of provision in this is over in Matthew chapter 25. And I'm going to pick it up in verse 14. Marvelous, marvelous parable. "For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. That's talents. That's not like a skilled ability. It's a coinage. You know, it's a currency. He gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey." Let me stop there for a moment. Hey, I hope you've come to peace with the reality that the Lord is the one who ultimately determines how many talents, how much money you are able to handle responsibly. Some are able to handle large sums. Others are not. He's the one who gives us capabilities. He's the one who prompts us to do this and that and the other skill sets and all and going out and working. But we're all going to get different levels of income. It doesn't matter whether you're a 5-talent person, a 2 or 3-talent person, or a 1. What matters is what you do with it, whatever amount the Lord is pleased to have come through your working and through your savings. And now we're going to see about some investments. So picking it up again, we're in Matthew 25, verses 14 and following. "So each one was given each according to their own ability." And in verse 16, "Immediately the one who had received 5 talents went and traded with them, invested with them, gained 5 more talents. Verse 17, "In the same manner, the one who received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. What a great investment. 100% return. Good for him. I love that. Verse 21, "His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. You know what? I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.'" Let me stop there a moment. When you invest well and the Lord can see that you can be entrusted to be a good steward of funds that he provides creatively, and so he can provide you with more. Yeah, because you're proven that you can do well with whatever you're given. Let's pick it up in verse 22. "The one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, 'Master, you entrusted me two talents, so you have gained two more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. I just love this. Yeah, you get an opportunity to be faithful, and God says, okay, well, let's take you to the next step, next level. Verse 24, the one who also had received the one talent came up and said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Now, he was feeling pretty good about himself. Hey, he gave me this thing. Man, I made sure I didn't lose it. I put it in the ground and marked it up, and now I can give it right back to him. Well, you might think that the master would go, well, at least he didn't lose it. But here's what he says, verse 26. His master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I did not sow, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. My friend, when the Lord does provide you through you working, through you saving, and then through, he wants you to invest it. And there are all different kinds of ways to invest it. And you want to be wise about that and all. And that's a whole other message. But the point is, put the money to work to gain some more. But if you're afraid of loss, that's not a neutral thing. He says, that's lazy. Do your work. Do your research. Put some of your money to work. It's good to get a income through working. It's good to save some of it for the rainy day, but you also got to put some of that to work to gain some more. And so these are the first three basic ways that the Lord, our creative provider, provides for us. All right, you want to go on? Here we go, number four. This is an interesting one. We're going to go to Luke chapter 15. There's several places we could go, but this is one of the most graphic instances. Let me take you to Luke 15, verse 11 and following. The story of these two sons, one of them is called the prodigal, but actually they were both prodigal sons. But here's the deal. The Lord, our creative provider, not only provides for us through working, through savings, through investments, but number four, through inheritance. Through inheritance. So let's pick up the story here in Luke chapter 15, verse 11. The Bible says this. He said, whoops, hang on. Let me back up the page here. All right, here we go. Jesus said this, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. Now, we could actually just stop there to make the point that sometimes the Lord provides through inheritance from parents to children, you know, and that is a good thing. However, there's a whole lot to say about this because, you know, if people get too much, and they have not been trained in how to deal with lots of money, it can absolutely ruin them. So I hope that those of you that have means and are going to pass it on to your children, make sure you train them how to deal with money because and put it in trust until they're of age, that kind of a thing. Because inheritance is one of the ways the Lord likes to provide, but not to the detriment of your children, but for their encouragement. And as a provision, and to help them be good stewards in the years ahead. And by the way, I hope you treat the Lord Jesus at least as well as one of your children, and that in your inheritance, when you set that up in your will, that the household of God, the Lord Jesus and his ministries and stuff, will get some of your inheritance. If you have three children, consider Jesus the first, and now you have four total children, and they all get the same amount. That would be creative, wouldn't it? Jesus getting at least as much as your children. Good Christian ministries, do your research, find those that will use that which you donate as part of your legacy giving your will to your church, home church, or area ministries, or multiple ministries. Create a portfolio of who will receive a portion of your inheritance equal to each of your sibling of your children is a thought to be praying about. Anyway, back to your children, though. So these two sons were getting these inheritance, and we know the stories, how the one squandered his and went out and was lazy and was entertaining himself and found himself among the pigs eating pig food and saying, what have I done? And I love the story of how he comes back repentant, seeing the error of his ways, seeing how good he had it, and they embrace, the father embraces him right off, doesn't even hear the story yet. He's just glad to see his son, and he throws a party. And how the other brother was a prodigal as well. He prodigaled at home, the other one prodigaled away from home, because in heart the older brother had left. He was working there at home, but it was kind of bitter, and we know that because he was incensed that the father received the younger one when he came back and threw a party and says, man, you had a calf killed for him and you don't even have a goat killed for me and stuff. And he just went on and on with tremendous hurt about how the father, in his mind, had mistreated him. And what did the father do with that second brother? When the second brother wouldn't even come in to celebrate that the younger brother had come back. Well, he became angry. He was not willing to go in. His father came at him, began to entreat him. But he answered and said to him, Father, look, for so many years I have been serving you. I have never neglected a command of yours. Yet you have never given me a small goat that I might even be merry with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him? Hello? And the father said to him, oh, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. In other words, you got your share of the inheritance. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead, but has begun to live, and was lost, but now he's been found. You see, the older brother, on the outside, was doing the right things, but on the inside, his heart was not right. And this was exposing that, and yet the Father in the story, like our Heavenly Father, was still working with him. I'm still providing for you. Both of you have been botching it because you're both works in progress. One botched it for all to see. You had it hidden, and only those of us closest to you see the bitterness that's there. But in either case, I still love you. I still have provision for you. I still will use you. You're still our family, but I want you to be set free from bitterness. I want you to come back from running away. All of those themes for all sons and daughters are at play. The Lord, our creative provider, provides through working. Number two, through savings. Number three, through investments. Number four, through inheritance. And then here's an interesting play, good application here. Number five, through insurance. Through insurance, let me show you the first insurance program in Genesis chapter 41. I love this story. It's the story of Joseph. Now, you know how his brothers had sold him into slavery, and he ended up in Egypt and in prison, Potiphar's house first, and then later he was imprisoned and all. But as time went on, God raised him up out of that prison, and he raised him up in the eyes of Pharaoh with the wisdom that he had, and Pharaoh ended up making him part of his court, second only to Pharaoh, kind of an executive pastor, you know, I guess you could say, in charge of things because of the wisdom and the humility of this young man named Joseph. And here's what he does, because the Lord also gave him unusual insights through dreams. And in one of those dreams, one of the things that he was seeing in the Lord was that there was going to be a famine in the land of Egypt and throughout all that region. So once he was put in charge of stuff, let me pick up the story in Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. says this, "Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And during the 7 years of plenty, the land brought forth abundance. So he gathered all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and placed the food in the cities. And he placed in every city the food from its own surrounding fields. Thus, Joseph stored up grain in the great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure." And then the Bible goes on to say that when the famine did come, they were well prepared for. Why? An insurance program. All right, from among you, from that region, we gather up, pay now, so that later on, when the need is there, this insurance policy kind of we put in, whenever this famine comes, we're going to be ready for it. We're going to have the built-up resources to be able to make it through it. The Lord, our creator provider, provides through working, through savings, through investments, through inheritance, through insurance. That's the first five. The other 10 will continue our journey next time. Well, Lord, thank you again just for how you take care of us in so many ways. These practical things that we've kind of known from many sources probably in our lives, but to see it come from the scriptures, principles that you have put into play, your ways as our creative provider, inspires us. So may we be good, faithful stewards of your funds. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and check out the website at markpg.org for more. Until next time, fall in love with your creative provider.